If you don't like what we tell you to believe in, we'll kill you.
Oh, hey, guy. Herschel here. Are you listening to a free fag episode of The Daily Shower? Do you need a small personal loan so you can afford a paywall subscription? I may be able to help you out. For the very low price of just $10 a month, you can listen to Mike finish his talking points without annoying promotional bits like this one. Log on to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your white man's agency level. E-checks, money order by mail, or cryptocurrency. Support TRS's efforts in shutting down yids like me.
This is tedious on therightstuff.biz.
Yes, hello. Hello to the post-apocalyptic Daily Show of the day after the hottest day ever.
This is the good stuff, the right stuff.
Hotter than the Paleozoic.
Men of our race are still being born with the right stuff.
Mesolithic? Mesozoic? Nothing.
Sure, yeah. All those, yeah.
Need to make a meme, like, when did this become hotter than this? And it's like a picture of like our postmodern terrible world, and then that could be a good meme. Could be a good meme. Anyway.
Paleozoic. Okay.
Did I not make that up well enough?
I probably did, but it sounds legit. Like, let me see. Does it exist?
It's like there's Zoics, there's Lithics. I don't know.
Paleozoic.
Was it hot
relating
then?
To or denoting the era between the Precambrian era and the Mesozoic era?
See? I'm a fan of the era.
I'm the Precambrian era. Yeah, Paleozoic, yeah, there it is. Huh.
Speaking of what defines
the Paleozoic era? 541 to 252 million years ago. It means ancient life. The oldest animals on Earth appeared just before the start of this era.
Speaking of ancient life.
Fucking white
male.
Somebody sent us the new Van Morrison CD.
Ha! Oh, you got another one?
I guess so. It's called What's It Gonna Take? And I'm disappointed. I opened it up. There's no lyric sheet. There's just song titles and like writing credits and who performed what.
Is there nothing about Facebook on there or anything?
Well, there's a couple things like this. Okay, these are the song titles. Dangerous. Track one, 7 minutes and 40 seconds. Like, what is this boomer doing?
Oh, my God.
Holy, what? I'm imagining.
Got like a harmonica solo in there.
I bet that doesn't end with like.
At
least with 740, you were waiting on that to happen for the last 3 minutes. What's it going to take? I like this title. Fighting Back is the New Normal.
Fighting Back is the New Normal.
And when you think about what fighting back is in the terms of boomer conservatives, you're like. Let's see. Fodder for the masses. Can't go on this way. And I like this one the best. Sometimes it's just blah, blah, blah. That's the song.
It's funny how he's such a boomer.
Yeah.
But he gets to like express himself through like this sort of jazz, blues, rock, fusion music he developed.
Right.
And like people will be like, oh, okay.
I forgot to open a notepad instance here. Yeah.
It's
what's
just
the
like
next
boomer
one?
Rant set to like harmonica.
And he's got Money from America. So Van Morrison, he's woke on the MMT question. Finally, a boomer that doesn't freak out.
Is this about Ukraine or something like that?
I don't know. I like to think it's about that sovereign money book, what's the other guy's name?
Oh God, it probably is something like.
I'm sure it's not. What's he got? Not seeking approval, damage and recovery, nervous breakdown, absolutely positively the most. I ain't no celebrity. And then his next song is called Stage Name, which is kind of contradictory. And this is a good one right here. This is like right out of the Sven pun mindset. Fear and self-loathing in Las Vegas.
Nice.
And the last song is called Pretending. And it's called What's It Gonna Take? And this man, if you look at this illustration, this man is apparently he's going to start running and that woman's just going to be left behind. I don't know. She seems to be standing.
I can't really see it that way.
It's like, why are you running? And it's a couple. They look horrified. There's puppeteer hands with strings attached to them. They're both to be looking at something in fear. He's running towards it, and she appears to be standing there, so he's abandoning her in her time of need. It's not very cool, Mick Van Morse.
One thing I'll say, though, he's old, but his voice really hasn't gone. Unusual. Well, unlike Patrick Stewart.
Well, he has that low, yeah. Or, like, or what's his face? Harrison Ford.
I got to be honest, I don't like Van Morrison's music. In fact, my favorite album is latest record project. And my favorite song is "Why Are You on a Facebook?"
Now that title is now a lie. It's not his latest record project.
Now it's not his latest record project. It's like, good job. Why didn't he just call this one
"Latest Record Project Volume 2"?
Right. Just like continued. So you can't once you start naming your albums that you're stuck.
So this guy also sent us a DVD called "Ice Age Columbus." Who were the first Americans? I'm supposed to say first, but it says who were the furs Americans, like the fur trappers that arrived in North America from France. It's an hour and 20-minute DVD. There was no note with this, so I don't know what we're supposed to get out of that. But we appreciate that. Thank you for the mail. We also received some piano music.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the Van Morrison. I mean, I kind of want to.
We have some cassette tapes.
I'll just look them up on YouTube.
We have some cassette tapes. I don't think anybody on the death panel other than me has the ability to play cassette tapes. And cassette tapes are supposed to be a meme. But anyway, it says...
I don't have any.
But it is nice music. It is, how's it going, Sven? Please don't say label name artist. Thanks very much for the signed album of Color. It was the most exciting piece of mail I received in a long time. The enclosed cassettes are sonically on the opposite end of the spectrum. oh my God, excuse me. I'm so sorry, everyone. That was very unprofessional of me, but here we are. Opposite end of the spectrum, relaxing piano music from a friend in Europe. One for each of you, but I thought they might pique Alex's interest in the 80s, 90s nostalgia in particular. I can send download. Oh, we can send download codes if desired. From Nazgul. So thank you. I thought I was just going to like start a live stream, or I would just start a Skype call with Alex and press play on the cassette so he could hear it, because he had said you like so. I can't show them. So I guess I'm not sure I should have even read that on the show, but there we are. We're here. There were other nice notes. This card right here is funny. Sometimes a card will make your whole day, if not your whole year. And then you open it, and it says, this is not that card. But it was that card, because it had a year's subscription in it, so it did make your whole year. It's like, what the fuck, bros? But thank you, everyone. That's about all I had on that. Just wanted to share the Van Morrison.
I didn't even know he came out with another one, but I'm looking at
some bangers in there.
Okay, so here's a review of what's it going to take.
Okay.
But the review is from May 2022, so apparently this has been out for a while, or over a year now.
Yeah, 2022.
And all of the reviewers are just like A-logging it.
They're going to pan it because of the wrong thing, right? Whatever
right.
it is.
They're like his music is great, but these lyrics are so paranoid and filled with bile and anger and
they're filled with the wrong kind of bile and anger. You're supposed to have bile and anger for transphobes, you know. Another one of those things where like you try to criticize what someone's saying through the temperament of it. It's like you have the same temperament. It's just ideology.
So apparently Dangerous is his reaction to the reviews of the previous album.
Why Are You on Facebook was a dangerous message, right? Well, now it's like, why are you on Threads? It's like, well, because Elon Musk destroyed Twitter, so I'm on Threads.
Like, but Threads is like coming with the pre-baked censorship. Like,
why did he destroy Twitter? Not that I'm sure.
I don't know. I didn't mean for that to be a topic. Well, I don't really know.
I think that, we can talk about it.
Twitter needs to exist. You need to have these retarded discussions somewhere. So, like, I think Twitter existing as a fucking tar pit for just retardation is better than there being no place for people to talk, because you can't control what people are saying if they're not on a...
You mean from their perspective or from our perspective?
Their perspective, not from ours.
Right. Well, I'm not so sure, because for a long time social media didn't exist.
Yeah.
And I think what they want to do is take social media and make it all like Instagram.
And
I think that's the purpose of Threads.
Yeah.
Because the selling point, because I watched Tech Lead's video about Threads last night, and he was being very tongue-in-cheek, pretending that it was the best thing ever, even though it was obvious that he thinks it's fucking stupid. But he was basically saying that's what that guy does. It gets it's kind of tiresome, but whatever.
It is what it is.
I didn't want to watch anybody else talking about Threads.
Right.
And he was saying like this is gonna be he's like great news for those of you looking for a career. Now you can be a Threads influencer. Just get on there and start influencing people. Which is pretty funny. And obviously he's like, yeah, now you can have a new career, threat new social media network. You've missed out on the other ones. It's your chance. Go be a Threads influencer.
What do you get out of doing it?
This is pretty annoying, huh? All this can go away. You bought a paywall at rightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use crypto, e-checks, mail in a money order, or even use your credit card on Sven's Odyssey channel. The link will be below in the show notes. That's the rightstuff.biz/paywall.
I hate influencers so much. I hate creators. I was looking at on Twitter, there's back and forth about the that's a total misnomer. Because these are not celebrities, these are wannabes. These are the influencer and creator boxing events. Apparently there's some controversy. And I think it was iDubbbz says that his last event lost a bunch of money. And so everyone's dunking on him. And so since it lost money, whatever charity he was trying to support lost out on what they were going to get. And this, the A-logging back and forth, and it's, Keemstar, because he apparently is successful in this endeavor in some way. And going back and forth, I just wish you would all die. Instead, you shouldn't be celebrity boxing. It should be celebrity, machine gun duels. Not celebrity, pardon me. I keep saying that. Influencer, they should be shooting each other.
Pistol duels. Yeah, they don't have the machine guns, but maybe machine guns to make sure they don't miss.
Yeah, I want at least they'll never half of the participants dead at the end of the event. That's what should happen.
Yeah. They'll never hit each other if it's pistols. They'll just be...
Just give them Uzis. Let them shoot sideways. But it's just pathetic. Watching this go on these... And then so I branched out. I started looking at... Because I got interested. What do these people, say? What is their content? What do they talk about?
Yeah, what do they talk about?
iDubbbz was talking about emotional...
emotional damage,
emotional intelligence, emotional maturity. And there was some guy saying that how men all need to hear this. He's getting shout outs from Keffels, and I'm this is all just influencing everyone to be gay.
I have only ever watched one iDubbbz video in my life,
the one where he says nigger
faggot, a few months ago, and it was the one where he apologized for all the racist pranks he used to do. And it was the most pathetic thing I've ever seen in my life. And he must have been heavily, or had a team of people
moderating
comments, because all the comments were positive, saying it's great, man. I grew up with your content. I thought it was so funny. I've grown too. I'm different now too. I understand that
I'm gay now too. I used to not be that gay, but then YouTube terms and conditions and my Jewish entertainment, my agent and my management, that's all Jewish. They're demanding everyone tone this stuff down, or I have to go get a job. And I've changed now because of that. And me, as a consumer, I'm so dumb that I think that's actually organic when Jews do that. Wait, what's a Jew? Does that exist? So I've grown too, man.
He just doesn't care. He's submitting to demands, and they're probably spinning up people to do either bots or just people to say this stuff. Or maybe there's some people gay enough to actually say it. Probably a bit of all of that. Another guy I saw, I was just on YouTube looking at – I only look at a couple channels, and mostly it's Russia Shills and then a few other things just to see what's going on with that. But this video came up, and it probably is because I'd watched the Red Letter Media Indiana Jones thing, although I didn't get more than 5 minutes into it because I didn't really care that much. But it was some big influencer guy. He's got scraggly long hair and a scraggly beard, and he's sitting in a room, a gray room with posters on the wall, totally unremarkable. It looks like some dude who would talk about metal or something. And he's like, I just saw the Indiana Jones movie, and it's bombing. Why are all movies bombing? I'm going to talk about some theories. And I watched 3 minutes of it, and there was no insight, nothing interesting. nothing original. He's like, yeah, like movies, they're just doing a lot of repeats of old franchises, and like it's just not hitting. And it's not that they're bad; they're just as good as the old ones, but people have seen it before. And
guy,
I'm like,
was this guy? Hold up! Was this guy? His guy had dark long hair, right? Is it the the penguin guy? Yeah, that guy. I don't know why that guy blew up, but people watch him.
I don't know,
and he's
what
terrible.
You mean by the penguin?
His name is Penguin Penguin XO or Penguin Zo or something like that.
Yeah, some shit like that. Yeah.
He is an awful.
He doesn't say anything.
He started calling certain people like bad people and like Nazis, and suddenly he had all these views. I don't know who he is. He's completely unprofessional. It's terrible content. It's Hassan tier politics, but like terrible presentation. And he just looks like he's stoned, and he has no business talking into a microphone or being in front of a camera. He has nothing to say. He doesn't say it well. So I don't know how he got promoted into millions and millions of people's views, but there it is. And there you go. That was the first video of his I ever clicked on, because I had seen that guy shilled so many times. I was like, all right, I'm going to see what this guy, because it was just like, why do people go to movies anymore?
Yeah, you saw the same video.
Yeah, I started watching the beginning. It was like, oh my God, this guy is nothing. And there's no commentary.
Why does this schlubby looking guy? Why does this video have like 1.1 million views?
Because he probably sucks dick and takes it in the ass. And I don't mean that figuratively. I mean, he is some kind of homosexual tranny deviant, probably. That's getting, he probably
looks a lot like that guy.
He probably covers for like Jewish rape and stuff.
It didn't seem like he did political stuff at all. But then there's that guy, Asmongold, who looks just like that guy who does video game stuff. And also gets high view counts, but is also, and it was uncovered that these guys, all these guys, and like Mr. Beast, they all have like the same talent agency.
Yes,
like none of this shit is organic.
That's what I was referring to before. Like you don't get to be a YouTuber or a Twitch star unless you're hooked up with this agency, and they all are. Like they created, like Mr. Beast again. Mr. Beast is another no charisma, no presentation skills. He sucked some dick. He takes it in the ass from the right Jew, and they just shove them out there and be like, all right, you're going to be the big thing. You're going to do these giveaways.
He literally talks just like soy face.
He talks like he has marbles in his mouth, and his like a bunch of his friends start coming out as gay trannies, and like, there you go. All these kids
are
used to
watching.
And
none of his friends are impressive either. His friends are all like nerd, like weird, awkward nerds that can't talk either, and it's just like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
There was another
tweet I saw from another small time. Like, again, these like commentary people declaring ad block is theft. It's like, fuck you. You don't deserve to exist.
Oh, they're back there on that shit?
Well, just comes up that once in a while. Somebody was getting all mad, like, you're stealing from YouTube. It's like, no. Ads are theft. Ads are evil. Ads are the only, like, you wouldn't
they're
have
theft of my time.
It's like, do your content for free and show me how far you get.
Also, if I'm damaging YouTube, good.
Yeah, it's also like, because there was stuff in there. All right, I would like to see everybody who uses Adblock do like 5 videos, upload them over the course of the next 2 weeks, get like 100 views, and then have the wherewithal to keep going and believe in yourself. I'd love to see you do that. It's like, well, I would do that, and I would have a huge audience, but I'm censored. I can't say what I want to say.
We've done that.
I can't say what I want to say on that platform, so fuck you and fuck your Adblock and fuck your
entire
existence. YouTube should be nothing but like home videos people share with their families, as it was originally
supposed to be, or just like,
or stuff that I shouldn't have to pay for to watch, like you. But there should be free movies and music videos up there and shit like that. Instead, YouTube is like, I have a bad presentation voice. Here's a slideshow with me reading like a 10th grade level essay on topic, and it's terrible. I tried to watch a guy give me a rundown of Filthy Frank. And like, I'm like, wow, how did you manage to make Filthy Frank the most boring thing I've ever heard? Oh, because you're doing a bad slideshow and you have a terrible presentation voice and you wrote a boring ass essay.
Dude,
it's just like
the self-styled YouTube documentarian is something that needs to go into the garbage of history.
Terrible.
Like there are some people that are good at it, but like people that like
there's too many that aren't good at it. And since YouTube curates content to be bad, because of the because of how politically charged things get, you just, if you get into a subject, you're just bombarded with people that are bad at it. Like, I have so many Disney analog movies that are the same thing.
They can talk about anything.
Very few.
They have to talk about, like, yeah, I mean, Yeah, it's just it's like yeah, nerd, I don't know. Like I nerdrotic.
Like there's a for every nerdrotic, there's like 6 million guys with the same opinion with just no.
Yeah, nerdrotic is like a breath of fresh air.
He's great. It's like in that genre, he's probably the tip top, but nobody else.
Yeah,
can
actually,
do
no,
I think
that.
He is.
Totally
I think he is the apex.
Yeah, everything else is like
he's the ringleader.
Yeah,
because all these other streamers. Yeah, all these other streamers will come onto his show, and he like corrals them.
Yeah.
All this and it's so, like, why, dude? Like, you're just ruining it.
There's so many.
Like, I mean, I don't really watch him either, but, like, in terms of actual talent for being behind the mic and in front of the camera, like, he's way better than these other people. I'm not even praising him because I think he kind of sucks, too, but, like...
opinions kind of suck. Like, it's just that, like, his presentation is pretty good. It's like you don't want to shut it off because, like, oh, I'm listening to a high school kid read his paper in front of the class. Which is what a lot of them end up being. I'm trying to find something in my history here. I saw, since this came up, so those Disney A-Log live streams.
Well, this is pretty annoying. You don't want to hear my voice. You want to hear Mike finish his thought, huh? But you can't, because you don't have a subscription. You should go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. Tag it.
...have been going on. I believe the term is ad infinitum.
Ad infinitum.
I don't know. Either way. Well, no one knows how that language sounds, right? Because no one speaks it anymore. So you can say it however you want.
Well, just put a heavy Italian accent on it and you're
ad infinitum.
I had a Latin. Ad infinitum. I had a Latin teacher in college when I briefly was in college who did that. He would speak Latin with like an Italian accent. He was really good at it, too. Like, he was really good at Latin. Well, even he's teaching it at college, so you have to be good at it. But yeah.
I am trying to find the very last Valiant Renegade video I saw. So they're doing all these live streams, crowing about Indiana Jones, crowing about.
And the reason why.
The end of Lucasfilm. Yeah, I got it here. The end of Lucasfilm, the end of Disney, the end of like all these properties and how they're all going to go out of business in 2 more weeks till Disney's bankrupt.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So I've got a video here. I'm not going to play. I don't want to summarize it because I feel like people might think I'm exaggerating. But so he takes a 10-minute clip out of one of these live streams. Okay. So because Borzoi and I were talking about this on Just Jesse, we were talking about the absolute howlers that these people come up with because they can't diagnose the problem. They can't talk about the real problem with Hollywood. They just have to like put other things up there in the way, like China or what was the other cope they had? Whatever they had.
Yeah. It's like we got to sell this stuff overseas to the Chinese. Ergo, we got to make certain changes to the script. Yeah.
One guy said that Hollywood was fine until like 5 years ago when like a bunch of subversive communists took over. Somebody said that. And it was just like, whoa. So I have found the cult take. I thought that was the cult take to end all cult takes. But here's one. Well,
since we're on the top of Hollywood, after this, we've got to talk about The Sound of Freedom.
Oh, yeah. We'll seg you right into that. I have content on that as well. But it's like,
yeah.
So these people, if you need more convincing that conservatives cannot fight for anybody, they cannot win because they don't know what they're doing. They don't know what they're talking about. They don't have any real principles. They literally are just Jewish liberals, kind of like 5 years behind the curve. I want to listen to this clip. This is done by one of the other best Disney A-Logs. I'm going to play it. It's been done by one of the best Disney A-Logs. And I want to tell you, I did not cherry-pick this clip he cherry-picked this clip out of a God knows 5-hour live stream he did with a bunch of these guys. And he didn't just pick this clip. He picked this clip out, and he made what I'm about to play to you, the mic drop. There's about 8 minutes of discussion that leads up to this guy with this point that this fucking idiot makes. And after he makes this horrendous, horrific point that everyone should have been, like, throwing up at, like the little, like the stinger hits, the animation hits, and the video is over. He thinks this is a mic drop. Okay, so let's, let's pipe this in here.
That is not only not family safe, it is no longer entertainment safe. It is now...
Hold on.
The videos, maybe we should start. But this is also... On top of that, if we're focusing on Disney as a general, it is now, we're at the point, whether it be from Last Jedi till now, the brand Disney is no longer a viable company that is not only not family safe, it is no longer entertainment safe. It is now a virus. It is a toxin. It is a cancer in the industry. And this is the biggest thing that comes to anything coming out from this place. Not because it's lost its way. It's because it keeps telling people we're either going to infect you or tell you to F off. There is no longer a cure for this. Disney is falling not because people are turning and closing their wallets away. Disney is falling because they've lost the magic of what it is to entertain a family. It doesn't matter if you're a full nuclear family, two dads, two moms, one dad, single mom. It doesn't matter. They have no idea how to talk to people in entertainment. And
That's it. What is the point of any of this? What is the point of being a Disney watchdog if that's your baseline for what family entertainment is?
Well, if homosexual families are fine, then what is your problem with Disney?
Yeah, that's their target audience. I mean, I recall someone saying that that Star Wars hotel that had to close, the Star Destroyer or whatever hotel, had these reservation suites that were for like three adults and a child. It's like, what's going on there? Like, what demographic are you hitting there? Three gay dads and their child sex victim? Like, what the fuck is that? Like that's their target audience is literally like your two dads and your two moms. And like,
I don't think that the people in that stream have much lived life experience of what it's like to have a family. I'm just saying.
I don't.
They all nodded with that. I mean, I'm telling you, Valiant Renegade clipped that out to be the final fucking the pièce de résistance in his little video clip there. That was the big own. That was the big dunk on Disney that he pulled out of that out of his live stream. That he had to clip that. That wasn't like
That Disney's not making a good enough product for gay dads.
Yeah,
I was low energy this morning, and I don't know if I'm gonna be able to recover.
Oh, I was hoping that was gonna make you really mad. But this is conservatism. Like, this is conservatism. Yeah. They have accepted that a family that not all families look the same. Not all families. There's many different kinds of families.
That's like the whole point of all these movies.
Why are you?
The issue is not.
It's just that they're not
the messaging. It's they're just not good at it. Like, we remember this is a lot of what they say. Remember how somebody was saying like the lesbian relationship in Scooby Doo was just not done right.
Yeah, I remember
it wasn't valid.
It seemed forced.
And I'm like,
yeah. I mean, this is why these people...
Like, the whole lesbians as an idea seems forced, to be honest with you.
I mean, this is what... I mean,
as concept. The concept of lesbian is a forced meme.
Where is Ron DeSantis in this? Where are the Ron DeSantis fans in the Don't Say Gay in Florida? Like, where's the anti-gay shit from Ron
They're
DeSantis
nodding
to stop this? Is it because that... I mean, because presumably...
Well, this is one of the things
about... Hold on. Presumably, a two-dad family has said gay to their underage child. Are they in violation of the law? Do they go to Gulag? Is there Disney World Gulag in like Epcot Center? No.
I think it's only supposed to be in schools. And I think it's about like gender stuff. But I mean, the whole thing of that bill didn't really tell people not to say gay was one of their defenses. But this is one of the problems, is that like conservatism can't actually tell you what it is about. And so as a result, they can hint around the edges at this and that, and they can do this and that. And if you want to believe that conservatism is just about like fighting communism, like gay dads fighting communism, you can think that if you want to believe, if you choose to interpret what you see from the conservative milieu as Ron DeSantis is totally going to protect us from gays and trannies, you can get that too. But you would then find yourself making a strategic alliance with somebody who's like, the problem with Disney is they don't make good content entertaining for gay dads.
Yeah.
And so like, and all, and you would be happy that guy was on your team. Because the idea would then be to like get Ron DeSantis elected. And so really conservatism is in the eye of the beholder. Like you can take from it what you want. Like, is it anti-gay? If you want it to be, you can see that. Is it going to cut down on anti-white stuff in schools? Well, if you chose to see that, you might be able to find that somewhere. Is it going to stop immigration? Sure. If you wanted to see that, you could see that.
Is it
pro-gay? Yeah, you could see that too. Yeah. You can see that if you want to find that in it, you can find that. Is it pro-immigration? Sure. if you want to find that in conservatism, you can find that too. So it just doesn't.
I think the problem with what's actually happening here is in America, you feel like you're under siege 24/7 with faggot propaganda.
Mm-hmm.
That's the problem.
And here's the resistance.
You just want a little escapism, just a little fucking escapism. So you go to your escapism, and then you get sieged again by the faggot propaganda, and that turns you off. That's why you're mad.
It's like they want ethics in faggot propaganda. You know, like we want ethics in paraphilic, you know, relationships and families.
Look, and what and, it is like,
frankly, I think it's okay to have some escapism, especially in this environment. You should be able to have a little escapism.
Of course.
Oh, nice I do escapism have, all the time.
It'd be I'm nice always... to have a place to go where you're not under siege by faggot propaganda, no but escape. Here we are.
Yeah.
And it's like literally every form of entertainment, everything under the sun, they're going to sneak in the faggot propaganda, and then you're going to feel like you're in that fucking siege mentality of just constantly having this stuff rammed at you. Aggressively.
Yeah. Behind. No, I understand it. Like, I, you know, and it's, he feels like even the most fascist things.
It would
you
just
know.
Be amazing if somebody could just admit that. Like, look, man, we're tired of the faggot shit. Stop with the faggot shit.
What's funny is how they will actually occasionally come out and say they're tired of it, except they'll say it's like women. Because.
This is pretty annoying, huh? All this can go away. You bought a paywall at rightstuff.biz/paywall.
That's an easy target that you don't really get in trouble for. Like feminism. Oh, God, the feminism in these movies. It's like nobody cares if you A-log feminism. No one cares if you shit on like women superheroes or something like that. Like,
and then you can kind of like tell by the tone of these kinds of movies, even if it's not like over the top, you can sense that the people behind the films hate your guts and they think that they're superior to you.
Yes. Oh, yeah, you absolutely can. Which is why I can't really enjoy movies anymore. But also, maybe it's like, you know, the other thing is that one place where you – well, the funny thing is it's like if you feel like you want escapism and you want to watch something where you're not inundated with the faggot propaganda, and then instead of watching Disney movies – you go and you watch Disney A-loggers. You go and you watch the Disney hater streams. And you find that even there, you are inundated with it. Even when you go to watch.
Or you feel blueballed because it's like, come on, man.
They're not quite
punch them hard. Punch them good and hard. Oh,
and they're not going to because they want to keep their channels. Even if they think it, which I'm sure they do. People always – here's the thing. There's always been these debates in our circles, like is so-and-so base, is so-and-so base. And I'm like, look, here's the thing. Lots of people think much more hardcore thoughts than what they say publicly. But if they don't say it publicly, they're not based.
Yeah.
Sorry. There's no secretly base.
Yeah, I just like, said this to somebody else. Nobody's hiding their power level. They don't have a power level. The power level is what you see. Because right. somebody posted a YouTube creator, unless they say it. Somebody posted a YouTube creator on Bang, said, oh, look what he's doing, it's like he's not hiding his power level. People who hide their power level are normal people who have jobs that they can't lose. So you hide your power level, you don't say nigger to your coworkers because you think HR is going to get you.
You'll lose your job.
If you're a commentator and you have an audience and you don't say nigger, kike, faggot, you're not hiding your power level, you just don't say those things.
Yeah. You're not helping to move anything along.
No.
You're not like...
No, you might as well ask for like... quality content for two dads' families. Is that guy hiding his power level? Did he just put that in there so he can get away with saying nuclear family? I don't know. All I heard was him say he wants quality content for two dad and two mom families. That's all I heard.
It takes away from everything else he said.
It makes everything else totally invalid because you have the door wide open.
And the best example is Pedro, right? Mm-hmm. Pedro, people would say, okay, he was hiding a power level, but he wasn't. Because what he was putting out there publicly was
and the reason why I think this
same
bots
old,
ass shit. Sorry,
you know,
my fault.
What's that?
No, the video started playing. I'm sorry, my fault.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, he wasn't. And then when it came time to do it, he said, "Like, usually I don't think you should apologize, but I'm going to apologize here." So it's like, what's Pedro's power level? Well, it's basically zero.
Because his apology, like he didn't like get caught up in some manufactured political controversy that's like for partisanship's sake. Like he got caught naming the Jew, so it's kind of like there's nothing you can do at that point. There is no apologizing. Like it's not like you made fun of AOC's ass in public or something, and like this is being made hay about, and yeah, something like that you don't apologize for. You don't apologize for grabbing by the pussy, you know, stuff like that. But this is like, what do you do when you hit the third rail and get caught? You know, it's a different thing.
Well, yeah, there's no, because there's no way not a calculation he made is there's no way that like cuffing this one out wins,
right?
Even if people like it, that doesn't matter because people don't control conservative content. Like, consumers don't control conservative content based on their preferences. The Jews in control of the conservative movement control it. And also, like, I'm kind of wondering, whatever. I mean, well, I don't know. Alex is going to say something. So, sorry.
No, yeah, the astounding thing in terms of, like, people and their slave mentality in this kind of environment. I was reading an article yesterday titled North Carolina Lieutenant Governor Tells Moms for Liberty It's Time to Start Reading Hitler Quotes, which is pretty funny, right? So it's a black guy, and he was basically saying that people should actually read stuff from Hitler or Stalin or Mao or whoever, have like an actual idea about what these people believed and thought. And in the comments section, someone said, well, why can't we cancel this guy? Why can't we get him fired? I mean, if he was an average working Joe on the street, he would have lost his job by now. And I'm like, so you like that paradigm where if you're an average working Joe and you say something, you get fucking destroyed?
Right, yeah.
You think that's good? You're okay with that?
And, well, they just want fairness in life-destroying.
It's like, you're mad because the lieutenant governor is too privileged to experience this kind of outcome? Like, what the fuck, man?
Well, the funny thing is, this guy's black, right?
Yeah, he's black. And of course,
it's not even because he's lieutenant governor. It's because he's black. And now you could also say, and here's the other funny thing, is the deliberate, even when I disagree with the person's politics that says it, oftentimes like the totally deliberate like denial of context is out of control. Like, this guy, I'm sure, wasn't like endorsing Hitler.
No.
He was just saying, if you're going to fucking call people Hitler all the time, you should know what Hitler was actually about. Something like that, probably, right?
Yeah, something to that effect.
Right. And like Roger Waters, who's dressed up as like a phony SS guy and played the wall for like 20 years now.
So basically,
and Jews are pretending not to understand that. You know,
the feeling you get from the public is like, well, this guy did a bad thing and he should be punished for it because I'm a fucking
slave. Is that from like the public or is that just from a certain like
subset of the public, but still.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't really care what your political position is. That is a strange place to find yourself where. A guy got in trouble, but the news media said he did a bad thing. We should definitely just destroy him immediately.
Right. That sounds more like the conservative activist set is the ones that are the ones that get activated by that.
So for what this ties into some other thing. I don't really want to go into it right now, but this Moms for Liberty shit, there's like a lot of media stir about this for some reason. I don't understand this particular gay op.
Oh, yeah, I haven't heard anything about it, but what is
it? It's been in my news feed for a while now. It's like, oh, yeah. We watched that video with the DeSantis supporters. It's that kind of crew.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's those people.
Oh,
and like,
yeah, the Ellie Reid video.
Yeah. So we got all of like these libtards stirred up about Moms for Liberty for some reason.
Oh, yeah.
Well, they're always doing the bit of like,
I was pretty sure there were Jews involved with Moms for Liberty.
I would not be. I would be amazed if there weren't. I'd be amazed if there weren't. Like, libtards, like, go nuts over a lot of right-wing efforts led by Jews that are, like,
yeah,
for our perspective, obviously controlled opposition, but libtards go fucking crazy about it. It's part of how the whole thing keeps its momentum, is this kind of shit, you know?
Yeah. Moms for Liberty is definitely some sort of Floridian... Wrong.
Oh, yeah. Dude, everything is coming out of Florida.
It's
with
the
that
new Nazi thing. They're so mad about that. Like, I saw somebody was making some clever tweets about alternative names for them, and I saw a comic where it was like a bunch of whiteout being spread over a book, and it was Moms for Liberty, like, because we're censoring so many books. You know, conservatives censored a lot of books.
They're accusing DeSantis of like banning books in Florida, because it's like they're taking, I think, certain like gay shit is being taken out of school curriculums or something like that. Right. I'm not exactly sure, but it's like, bro, like, look, why do you want to have like, you know, preteen kids reading about like tranny kids like learning their sexual development and things? It's like you write pornographic material,
right?
You put it in school libraries, and then you're mad. You start calling people, like, you get mad when people like start removing it. Like,
I got a good Forzoy on the case here, because one of the founders, Bridget Ziegler.
All right, there you go. Yeah, no, I'm gonna just go ahead. I'm gonna go ahead and just say, yeah, most likely, yeah. I mean, like all that kind of shit, all that shit in Florida is run by kikes. All of it. Any conservative Republican Party affiliated effort in Florida is most likely a Jewish effort. Like, it's just, it's totally, yeah.
The other thing is, like, everything to come out of Florida is just automatically AstroTurf, because Florida is like a fake state.
It's all in its fake country. Yeah.
Literally everything down there is AstroTurfed and fake. It's all disgusting plasticky neon bullshit.
Talk about a swamp you need to drain. Drain the swamp, Florida.
Yeah, yeah. It's like Maynard James Keenan was singing about the wrong state. Singing about Florida.
Oh, man. Maybe I could do that. I did anime. I could make it learn to swim, and it's about the Gulf. Like Miami falling into the sea. In the Pensacola Bay. No, what would be a good, instead of Arizona Bay, like in the Mississippi Bay? What's like a border town in Georgia? That'll be the name of the bay. The Athens, Georgia Bay. I don't know where Athens, Georgia is, but the syllables fit.
I did know when we were driving. I remember the name of the cities.
Hey, they still have that south of the border thing if you go down 95 down the East Coast.
Yep.
Like you stop at like, what is it, South Carolina, like the state line, border. And there's some like fucking teepee filled with like Mexican tchotchkes or something. Like, I don't know what it was.
Years ago, me and my dad, one of his buddies, rode bikes down there just to get some of the fucking stickers, just to say, like, hey, we went to south of the border.
We did a road trip from, you know, New York to Florida a couple times. My dad had a sweet Astro van with a tiny TV in it. You don't like interruptions. Well, this is a different kind of an interruption. This is a pre-recorded interruption to remind you that you wouldn't be hearing this interruption if you would actually pony up, support our work here at TRS, and buy a subscription to the show. It's only $10 a month, unless you're using, like, e-checks. Then there's some extra fees, because the e-checks fucking suck. Don't use those. The point is, we need your support. You can't use credit cards anymore. It's kind of a pain in the balls, but we still need you to help us out. And if you're enjoying the content, these silly commercials will go away. We won't bother you anymore if you just do. So go to therightstuff.biz/paywall, make an order. You can use Z-checks. You can mail in a money order. You can use a bunch of different cryptocurrencies, all which suck and are annoying, but we'll get it figured out. Or you can go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can... give me a donation there and send me a screenshot of the transaction. We'll get you figured out. So, yeah. I guess any second now we'll go back to the show. I don't know when, because I don't want these to be quick and predictable so that you can't just skip through them to make them go away. So this one's going to be a little extra long. But yeah, you need a subscription. You need a subscription. That was the best. And the south of the border was a big deal. Because it worked. The marketing worked. Like, me and my sister were like, what is that? We got to stop! Oh my God, only 50 more miles! And it was, you know, all the way down the East Coast.
Oh, yeah, they do that shit when you take
road trips. You've got to stop.
You've got to stop for that small business. Don't ever say anything bad about it.
They do this shit, like, on the ride from Florida. I don't think it was south of the border, but there was, like, some big rest area, service area that had, like, it was a huge thing. They had gifts and snacks and specialty foods and items.
That sounds like south of the border to me.
It might have been. It had, like, some kind of mascot, like an animal mascot.
Yeah, yeah. A little Mexican kid or something. A little donkey.
No. It was like a woodchuck or a squirrel or something like that. It was similar to this, though.
It was market competition.
And so, of course, we fell for it. We fell for it and we stopped, and it was like it took, like, an hour to get in and out of there. Just to get gas and like some food, and I was and I didn't even want the food. I didn't want any of this.
I should have actually spent more time there looking around. Oh, they've got weird hours, but yeah, they have a reptile lagoon. They have some kind of amusement park. Now, this is the part I think is a little problematic: Sombrero Tower and arcade.
Casa Bonita.
Scroll down and look at this. They have a. This is their. See the attraction.
Yeah, there's
there.
A big. There's a big like tin giraffe. Oh,
yeah, there's that. But wait till you see the Sombrero Tower.
Some fucking tendies. Like,
do they actually have gators there?
RV camp.
Yeah,
that's him. There's Pedro. He's got fireworks.
Fort Pedro.
Yeah,
that's the fort Pedro's trying to build. Feels,
oh, this man. Like, why is there Twitter SOB Pedro? That SOB Pedro doesn't like Jews at all. I know it's mean south of border, but come on, guys. At least make an SOTB.
This looks like it would have been more fun than the place. This looks like more fun than the place we stopped.
Well, the point of this is it would be fun if America wasn't just like Mexico and like, you know, and
yeah,
like Cameroon
when you stop
mixed.
At these
like,
types
it's like
of
it's
things,
like it's like the, it's like America already is Mexico and Cameroon to. Like mixed up in a milkshake blender. So like stopping at like a Mexican themed rest stop like isn't as like entertaining. Oh, this page isn't available. Wow.
Also, just like the people you're adjacent to.
See, this thing was built, though, when Mexico was still kind
of
exotic.
Yes.
There weren't Mexicans here.
Right.
Yeah, it was still a funny meme.
Get it south of the border from North Carolina to South Carolina. That's where it is, right? South Carolina, isn't it?
Yeah, right on the border.
Yeah. I'm fucking starving now, though, let me tell you. Accommodations. Oh, look at those nice chairs. There's a campground. Do they have those chairs in the campground? Ooh, the motor. Look at that. Look at that. That's not, that flooring is almost as nice as the flooring that's on my wall. Oh, that's it.
Wow. Could you imagine
never
camping?
Sausage a place?
Camping in that geographical location? Like, is there an air conditioner unit big enough to put in your tent?
Oof. Yeah, you bring mics. As long as Jamie didn't drop it.
If it's
camping. Camping in a tent in the summer is like. I'm just dying of heat.
I'm never going to camp ever.
In the sandy flatlands of South and North Carolina, right there on the border, I know what that weather is like. That is some fucking muggy shit down there.
Can I see this? I want this picture to get larger. It won't allow me.
The tents are, you're really supposed to be under a tree cover when you're in a tent. Like,
you're supposed to be
inside.
You're
just going
to
cook.
You're supposed to be inside. You're a human being. You're not an animal. We have technology. The glories of being a human being is that we build shelters and then we build climate control systems so you don't have to be outside underneath a piece of canvas with all the bugs and God knows what.
And just like... Just
you're not
like
proving anything that you go outside and suffer. I suffered all weekend. I was sweaty and I'd eat crappy food that I cooked on a tiny fire I built with my own two hands and I dug a hole in the ground and shat in it. Like, wow, I stayed inside. I like played guitar. I watched some Disney A-Log movies and... We played video games as kids.
Now you know why people always take alcohol with them when they go camping, because you need to be drunk just to be able to...
How are you
going to
keep the alcohol cold, McNabb? I have two refrigerators here filled with beer.
Cooler.
I got all this beer.
Cooler,
I don't have to be...
The cooler.
I don't have to drink outside in the woods. I can drink in a chair.
But I understand. I'm a proud day hiker. It's like I want to come home, take a hot shower, and go to bed.
You took a walk on steroids. Congratulations.
Yeah, well, I don't want to go out there and set a tent and then fucking be miserable after hiking for several hours. Screw that.
You simulated going camping, which is good. You simulated the walk, and then you came back home. You realized that the destination is the journey, right? So you go for a walk in the woods, and now you're home where you're comfy. Like the point was not to pitch a tent and lay down with some rocks in your lumbar. The point
and
was
the best
to go on the walk.
That since we moved out here, I can just do that without
just
going.
Walk around. Yeah, like where we used to live.
Walk around.
Like where we used to live, you have to like take a drive, park the car, and then
drive,
you can walk around.
To walk.
And everybody else drives it to, oh my God, have you seen, like, what is it, Beacon Cold Spring, the Breakneck Mountain, the fucking hiking? It's just like, you drive by that in the weekends, there's nowhere to park, and it's just fucking simmering brown people everywhere. It's disgusting. This used to be white people's shit.
Brutal freaking climb, dude. Getting all the way to the top of that mountain, that's not easy.
But it's like the fucking, the amount of like Guadalupe's. That are just like going on. It's like it fucking sickens me to drive by that place.
Most people don't make it.
You know what I did one year? Speaking of bad camping experiences, I stayed at a rock shelter.
Oh,
and it had been raining. Little did
I
realize,
in Iraq, like you were in the green zone.
I was in the green zone of the rock shelter.
It was raining IEDs.
By rock shelter, what I mean is the cave. It's a fucking cave.
Right,
what I didn't know is the caves will sweat water whenever it rains. So
I'm getting
peed on all night long by this fucking cave.
I'd be worried about like fucking creatures in there. Like,
well, it was the time of the year where I think it was still early enough. There wasn't a lot of wildlife out. It was just good enough temperatures, but still fucking cold. After that experience, I was like, all right, I went there. I got the T-shirt. I'm good for the rest of my life.
Well,
I will sleep in my warm little bed and never do this again.
Well, we kind of got off the topic of
South of
movies,
the Outdoors.
I did want to talk about.
Oh yeah, the movie that
Mike wants to steer back to talk.
No,
about
he's right. Movies. The movie that beat Indiana Jones on the 4th of July, a day where probably nobody goes to the movies but Jews, just like Christmas. This small little production involving Jim Caviezel in some way called The Sound of Freedom brought in like $14 million, whereas Indy only brought in 11 on the 4th of July.
What's amazing is how low these numbers are, generally speaking. Like the reason.
The Sound of Freedom?
The reason this sound. Well, first of all, we got to talk about that, not just about the fact that it won, that it beat Indiana Jones, but the content of it. What? I don't know if you know anything about it.
I don't know shit about this.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay, so this is what I actually wanted to talk about. So this is a movie by a studio called Angel Studios. It's based in, I think, Salt Lake City, Utah.
Oh, it's all Mormons?
It's a Christian, it must be, but it's a Christian movie publisher, but I don't think it's strictly Mormon. I mean, some people say
none of these people are like Mormons, man. Yaviar, Navarrete, Eduardo, Varastegul. What?
Again, you're not. That's just this. That's the studio. Okay, so I don't know who runs the studio. I'm assuming it's probably Mormons. They've been doing movies for a while. They've even done a TV show. And one of the things is that they have, unlike the kind of stuff they were doing with Kirk Cameron and Left Behind. You know, in the previous era, these people are actually doing stuff that I guess rivals the production quality of larger Hollywood films.
Okay.
So Jim Caviezel, for those of you that don't know, is the guy that starred as Jesus in Passion of the Christ.
Right.
And despite Mel Gibson saying to him, if you become Jesus, if you star as Jesus, your acting career is going to be hurt. He's actually had a number of big roles after this, and he was in a show.
Oh, so that's why we haven't seen Jesus in so long. That makes
sense. What do you mean?
Okay. You said that if you star as Jesus, then your career is done. So
Mel Gibson was basically saying not just if you star as Jesus, but if you star as Jesus in his controversial.
Yeah, but see, this is what happened to the real Jesus. He was Jesus for a while, and his career was over. And
his career, after 3 days, it was like done, right?
Yes.
But like, but then he had like the longest career and it's still running, although it's sort of petering out. People, you know, it's kind of petering out now, at least in America, but it's a pretty long running career.
But it's the Jesus rerun, though.
But in any case, so this movie, though, is something important because every single conservative social media account is promoting this movie.
Yep.
And it is supposedly about child sex trafficking and like stopping child sex trafficking, but it's a fucking scam, and I'll explain why.
Please do.
So I actually saw, like, Jim Caviezel has been apparently doing interviews to promote this movie for several weeks. I've known about this movie for a while, and in these interviews he's sometimes even asked about Jeffrey Epstein and Epstein Island, and he always dodges the question, and he always talks about how, well, there's lots of.
Hey, it's your worst possible nightmare. It's the sound of Borzoi interrupting whatever wonderful talking point Mike is making right now, interrupting your own train of thought. And you're in this position, listening to me right now, well, because you're listening to the free version of this show. You're not even getting all the content, and now you have to listen to me. Is this what you want? Is it really? You want to hear this? You want to hear me? That just can't possibly be what you want. So if you want to rectify that issue, go to therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can make one-time donations and get 3 months, 6 months, even a year. So why are you doing this to yourself? This has to be especially troubling because I'm not even going to check the audio and how this sounds. So you could also be listening to just terrible audio right now. So why not just stop doing this to yourself and get behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall.
Of other Epstein Islands, there's lots of other islands like that. And he talks about, guess what kinds of people he talks about in terms of who this is like.
Is it Satanist, communist, like Chinese, or drug cartels, right? Chinese.
This is
people?
Just like the Nazis.
Oh.
In interviews.
What?
He says people that are ignoring this issue are just like how we ignored the rise of the Nazis, like that kind of stuff, right?
Oh, all right.
And I think he talks some. I think he talks.
He's really hiding his power level right there. Good job, Jim.
I think he talks about Freemasons as
just
well.
Below the surface. Okay. Oh man, power levels.
So
that's a dog whistle, Mike. That's a dog whistle.
He plays in the movie a guy named Tim Ballard, who is a actual former rogue. Homeland Security Officer. Homeland Security Officer. Sorry.
Oh, that's good. Welcome to the Homeland.
Department of Homeland Security. So So he's supposedly a Homeland Security officer, and he was wanting to stop the trafficking of children. And this guy is real. Tim Ballard is real. And he's actually become a bit of a media personality because he talks about the trafficking of brown and black children from South America and the Caribbean. And he doesn't ever talk about the culprits. He doesn't ever talk about the systemic nature of this issue, who's behind it, what's going on. He just effectively, it's a big case for we have to like import. The job of the United States government and Homeland Security is to go and rescue brown and black children from the Caribbean and South America and bring them to America to protect them from sex trafficking. And the bad guys in this film are communist FARC or FARC guerrillas from South America.
Right.
Who are actually drug traffickers, but probably not child sex traffickers. In fact, I'll bet you that if those guys caught you trafficking in children, they'd fucking blow your head off.
Yeah.
And then say, like, you should be trafficking bricks of cocaine instead, bro. Like, what's going on? Because that's what those guys do, right?
Right.
But the thing is, but also, FARC guerrillas are a cookie-cutter bad guy. They've been used in a lot of Hollywood movies as just, like, we need bad guys. I think they were in Predator. They were in, what's that movie, Collateral Damage Arnold. They've been in a number of movies if you just need a generic... But- That's South like, American drug dealing bad guys.
It's like 30 years out of date, though.
Yeah, I mean, like, FARC still exists, but they're not really a political threat anymore. They're kind of more legitimately just like drug dealers now.
When's the last time you've really seen any like news reporting on these guys?
Not very much. I mean, I think like Rage Against the Machine has given up on them at this point. But the thing is, it's like, it's just not the right target. Like, you're not, like, and the fact that this guy, the movie blames.
It's like a Reaganite, he's blaming like a Reaganite conservative bugaboo. It's perfect.
Well, that's what this is. It's like putard Reaganism, the movie.
Right.
That's like literally what I said yesterday on Telegram. Is like, this is Reaganism for putards. That's what they're doing. And of course, there's an element of neoconservatism in it too. There's an element of like, the U.S. military should get involved. And in order to save these trafficked children. And the ultimate thing came when I was talking with Borzoi yesterday, and he goes and he looks up who wrote this movie. Of course, the director of the movie is some Mexican. Okay. The guy's got a Mexican name. He's the co-writer with a guy whose name is Rod Barr. Okay. So, all right. Already my eyebrow crooks a little. Rod Barr. Barr. That's interesting. Barr. Two other people named Barr. Yeah. Both of them are Jewish.
They're Jewish.
Yeah,
right?
One of them thinks that the Holocaust should happen, I think, right?
Yeah, yeah. One of them thinks that like Joe Biden stole the election or something. But yeah. So
I don't understand. So you're going to rescue all these Mexican children or whatever, bring them to the U.S. and then show them pictures of Hunter Biden's cock? How does that help anything?
Yeah, I don't know. Well, again, I don't actually feel like watching the movie, but I kind of get this sort of the summary of it. But Rod Barr, the funny thing about Rod Barr is not being totally sure if he was a Jew or not. So Borzoi went and looked at his IMDb, and then I went and looked at his IMDb. He's got two movies in production now that he's working on, but his only other previous film writing credit is a 2014 Israeli romantic comedy.
Oh,
so Brian
won an award in Israel.
So Brian Singer will be working on that next. Brian Singer's career will be back.
Yeah. So it's like, well,
he couldn't be Jewish. Mexicans do movies in Israel all the time.
Right.
Brian Singer isn't actually trafficking kids. He just kind of like likes to have sex parties with like teenage boys. So basically, you could have maps against trafficking. Like, that'll be like the trad conservative way of looking at child molesting. It's like, as long as you're not like kidnapping them and trading them around for like favors and what else amongst like a rich elite, you can just molest children. That'll be the neocon, like the trad, you know, you have Jews against money, gays against grooming. This will be like, you know, groomers against trafficking. Like, it should be organic and nonprofit. That'll be
I'm
where
surprised
they'll
that they didn't make the bad guys in this movie like China. Maybe it was like written before that. I don't know, but it feels like maybe they'll have a sequel.
I'm surprised they didn't just make it white people. Just make it Nazis.
Jim Caviezel, he doesn't say like Nazis are doing it, but he says like I think he says something like we're ignoring it the way Nazism was ignored, and it's like,
bro, like Nazism like took the biggest bite out of sexual degeneracy in Western culture.
Yeah,
like,
I know. And the thing is, the thing that pisses me off, and I guess I shouldn't be so pissed off, but this, I got to be honest.
I'm not pissed off. I just shake my head. I'm just like,
doesn't fill me with any kind of idea that it's going to get anything done or move the needle, because it's being used to just push this kind of stuff. And the reason I actually am skeptical that a lot of people went to go see this movie, because like everything with Angel Studio, they have this thing called Pay It Forward, where you can just go and buy a bunch of tickets, and then if people show up, they can get a free seat. So like, probably some and this is actually
how do you redeem your Pay It Forward tickets? Like, hi, I'd like to watch this film.
You just show up. Like, basically what it is that they get like churches to block buy a number of tickets, and then whoever shows up while those are still open just can go and sit down, and they're hoping in this way to spread the film. If you get
like
the word
that, dump scheme.
Yeah.
Well, the thing is, there's no value at the end.
That's also like a thing that's the thing that the A-logs, the people that would like this, people that are cheering about this movie, they accuse the big studios of doing this. It's the same, like just buying blocks of tickets so that theaters appear full. And
I'm sure they do it too.
Yeah, but they accuse Lucasfilm and Disney of doing this to the films that they hate, to their woke movies. And now here's this movie doing the same thing. That's pretty funny.
Right. And this is actually a strategy of this Angel Studios in order to make money, is they have some rich patrons and sponsors, some of whom might even be Jewish. And I mean, they have a Jew writing one of their movies. I mean, I'm pretty sure Rod Barr probably wrote this movie mostly, and the directing was done by this Mexican guy. But yeah, so they've been doing this forever with their movies. I mean, I think they've even did this with the Left Behind movies, and they have like, they market tickets in churches where everyone's like kind of really encouraged to buy a ticket. And even if you don't want to show up or whatever, and then people can go online and rich people can go online and buy like massive amounts of tickets. So this is, I think, how they pushed those sales numbers up, but we don't know what actual attendance numbers are. Now, attendance might have been pretty good too, because maybe there were people that legitimately wanted to see this. You know, we were talking about it in the chat, and Alan was like, hey, maybe I wouldn't mind going to see this. Maybe I'll go check it out. I'm like, well, just show up without any money and just hope someone pays. Just like, just demand a free seat. Just like, wait till someone pays it forward and just take your seat.
So the one thing I do have a bit of a geopolitical fear. There's been a bit of saber rattling towards Mexico, South American region. That this seems to be almost shaping up to be a potential like military industrial complex boondoggle, where you might think like, oh, that'd be good to send these troops down there to secure the border. It's like, no, they're not going to do that. No. They're going to do boondoggles down there and probably try to get rid of people like AMLO.
And they'll probably make it worse, because it's one thing to actually put the National Guard like on the border so that like Mexicans and Beaners can't cross and just get turned away. It's another thing to go and start interfering in shit inside Mexico, which is inevitably going to lead to some kind of like fallout and refugee flows into our country.
Mm-hmm.
Like if they go and fuck around with the Mexican government, like get rid of AMLO or even go to Colombia and like try and fight FARC or something like that, like you're just gonna create refugees. You're just gonna create when they went and fucked around Venezuela. Like they didn't take out Maduro. They didn't take out Chavez or Maduro, but they did manage to like create more poverty than they otherwise would have. And then they created a bunch of Venezuelan immigrants to our fucking country. That's all they ever do. Same with Cuba.
I feel like there's been an uptick in this kind of rhetoric over the last year or so. And it looks like the one kind of situation.
Oh, hi guys. Here's another pre-recorded interruption, not an actual interruption. I'm just here to remind you, we need you to go ahead and pick up a subscription at therightstuff.biz/paywall. You can use money orders, you can use crypto, you can use e-checks, you can even go to my Odyssey channel, Uncle Spen's Other Tone Stream, and you can use your credit card on there to get around the Jews' banishment of our banking services. That works. So you can do that until you can't. I don't know. But thanks. We'll be right back to the show now.
You might be able to get right-wing conservatives on board with it. Like, yeah, we're going to do something about these evil cartels down in Mexico.
Well, it's when black liposuction patients... we're actually
just going to destabilize everything.
When black liposuction, surgery vacationers get killed by the cartel, that's when we need to go in, right?
American conservative activated. Yeah.
Did you see Lindsey Graham get just like absolutely fucking booed at that Trump rally?
No, I heard it. I'm just clicking around.
We should actually play that video. Hang on a second.
They keep calling this film the faith-based thriller Sound of Freedom.
There's a heavy dose of like praying and Christian crap in it.
Some MK Ultra shit right there. Faith-based. It's kind of a faith-based movie. I think it's a film. Is it digital or is it analog? Oh, it's faith-based. Oh, it's prayer. It was whatever. I just find that's like strange. Mm-hmm. That's like stay away from this phraseology. Like, listen, make fun of analog this. Mm. So it's up to $18 million now, according to box office movie.
Is that total gross?
But the opening day was July 4th. It made $14 million. It's since made $18 million. I don't know how long it's going to last, but.
Oh, really? I would have thought it just had that extinction burst and then it's like petered off since July 4th. Because we're on like
Yeah, that was just the opening day.
Well, it's the 7th now, so and then in the 3...
So I don't know. Speaking of AMLO, looks like he was smart enough to try to join forces with libtards because he's telling people not to vote for Ron DeSantis. That's
cool. Oh, really?
That's a pretty easy fucking position for it
is
to
gay,
take.
But I feel like this is calibrated to
all of America
American
is like, don't vote for Ron DeSantis. Like, how big is how, like, Ann Coulter is the only person that would be mad that you said that. Like, that's the last straw for you, AMLO. Ann Lowe's coming for you. She's going to write a scathing column about your anti-DeSantis shilling. She doesn't have Pedro in her corner anymore since he's canceled. He's cameloed. Canceloed. So, but yeah, so this movie, from what I was seeing, was this movie was shown, supposedly. It was released to 2,600 screens. And for context, Indiana Jones was shown on 4,600 screens, so... It's a fairly wide release. That's a fairly wide release.
Of the Sounds of Freedom?
Yeah.
How many screens did it have again?
2,600 screens to Indiana Jones' 4,600, which is plenty big, but like 2,600 is nothing to shake a stick at.
That's not a limited release. Like, that's the other thing. They say that these films from the studio typically get limited release, and I'm like, somebody said that in the chat, and I was like, no, I think it actually got fairly wide release. That's like, I think a lot of mainstream theaters actually carried it.
Yeah.
So I watched the Red Letter Media review of Indiana Jones, and it seemed like the central point they were making, because the movie was just mediocre and boring.
Well, yeah, they were sort of the they of were course, sort of yeah. they there, sort of no made surprises there. They sort of made like reasonable criticisms. Like they weren't hung up on like Phoebe Waller-Bridge and the kind of politics that she represents to them. Like they just like, yeah, I mean, she played the character. That's how it was written. She did okay. She did fine. You know, like they were a lot more reasonable about it. Like whereas the Disney analogs, like this evil feminist woman is ruining the movie, and it's just like, calm down, bros. They're making fun of you for saying
it's just so it's strange because it's like the now I've seen some people that have tried to it is sort of interesting that the person that they choose to point the finger at is Kathleen Kennedy. And I understand why, but it's also like, isn't it convenient that you're really mad when it's a non-Jew? Yes, now her husband is Jewish.
Did you want to hear Sven's conspiracy theory?
Oh yeah, I did that. Yeah,
have you already done it?
Yeah, I did it on Just Jesse with Borzoi. It's like, yeah, I made it to make fun of them. It's like, well, supposedly like she's been the sin chicken the whole time. She's the only non-Jew involved in all these things, and she keeps not getting fired. And all these Disney analogs, they hate her. They hate her more than anyone else. They don't hate Bob Iger. They don't even really.
Yeah, they
Bob
never
Chapek.
Talk about the Jews.
Yeah, they never. They never complain
they
about.
They never
not,
do.
No one's calling for Bob Iger to like step down. Like they're always like Kathleen
this
Kennedy
is
has to be
that's
executed.
Amazing to me. I'm sorry to interrupt. No, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have done it. This is something that's amazing to me that conservative people that are doing this sort of content, whether they're doing movie review stuff or they're doing QAnon stuff. They always manage, or they're doing COVID, they always manage to focus on a non-Jew.
Right.
And it makes me wonder how centrally controlled this shit is.
And I never noticed this until there was a rumor video that was put out the other day where, I think it was yesterday, I saw it after, not yesterday, Wednesday, after the show, where it was rumored that in like a meeting where she's being grilled, Kathleen Kennedy says to Bob Iger, how am I supposed to make a good movie under these conditions with these DEI regulations we're operating
right
with. So it's like, wait a minute, are you trying to say that like maybe she tanked all this stuff on purpose so that if you go woke you would go broke? Because is she the one fighting? Because now, you know, Vanguard and BlackRock are the top investors in Disney, now they're left holding this bag. They don't know, I don't know, You could maybe make that argument that she ruined everything on purpose.
Well,
it's gay and silly, but it's funny to think about.
These Jews have a significantly longer term plan than these A-logs understand. Like, they're not looking at, like, they understand, like, they are eventually transitioning to a period when just audiences are just not critical.
I think that's ultimately their plan. I think with these big franchises, they've done such a poor job. I think they're going to usher in the AI movie, and people are going to be thankful for it.
They'll also save money that way.
Yeah, people. They no more $300 million films with marquee. We don't have marquee actors anymore. We'll just have a digital Mark Hamill, and then you just go from there and make them apolitical.
Yeah. I think they are going to do that, and it's going to make everything's going to be very much. They'll just not need actors at all. They might not even always use people that were previously famous. They'll just use randos. Like, they'll just create random AI characters.
I like the idea though of the malicious compliance Kennedy.
Yeah, right.
Like, she's like telling Bob Iger, like, look, you wanted me to do the diversity, I did it, and it blew up.
Did you see the nigger that they had like in charge of the CIA? Did you see the nigger they put in Indiana Jones? The nigger woman.
No.
Oh my God! She's got like a natty fucking afro, and she's in charge of the CIA department that's doing the Nazi hunting or something. It was fucking hilarious.
The thing is, I could put myself mentally in that position of like, what if I was in her shoes? Yeah, what I would do, I would just go full bore with it. Like, oh, you want diversity? All right, let me find the nappiest, most disgusting negress I can possibly cast. Put them in there. Let's just make this into a fucking train wreck.
Fucking CIA agent. Not just special. I mean, special agent Shaniqua.
We hunt Nazis, evidence, bitch.
Sorry, Mike. Go ahead.
Is there actual evidence that this conversation happened?
No. It's rumors.
But also, I would say, even if it did, it doesn't necessarily mean that she's like our gal or something like that, because she's not. Like, her husband, like I said, her Catholic husband is Jewish.
Are you saying she's not our gal? What the
I'm
fuck?
I'm saying she's amazingly, you're not believe that she's not like a Nazi.
Plus, she was hiding her power level this whole time.
I think that these people probably have pretty fucking candid conversations in these board meetings. And she's saying, look, like, you wanted this to me, you can't have DEI and make money at the same time. I thought we understood these were loss leaders. I thought we understood we're trying to do a cultural reset here. Like, I thought we understood, like, you know, but was the Indiana Jones movie even that DEI laden? I mean, it's still white people in it.
Well,
I don't know. I'm assuming it was, so I have no idea.
DEI is the wrong word for it. It's just like what they did to the character and the concept of, like, basically they just took another beloved white, straight, traditional hero and turned him into an alcoholic, divorced, broken man with a dead son who spends the entire movie getting slapped around by this uppity bitch.
Which is annoying, and nobody wants to see that. I mean, Mike Siklasa said something about Indiana Jones once when the 2011 movie came out, and he said, look, this idea of Indiana Jones as an older man with a messed-up relationship with an adult son...
Yeah.
And then, like, finally getting married to his first love and all these character plot, like, no one gives a shit about this.
Right.
He's like, people don't care about Indiana Jones as a character being developed. He's like, Indiana Jones is like a wisecracking hero that punches the bad guy and gets the girl. And you want to be Indiana Jones. You see yourself in his place when you watch the movies, the old ones where he's the swashbuckling hero. You know, he smacks a bad guy, does the wisecrack, gets the girl, and boom, it's over. And you feel like you, as a male, you're Indiana Jones, you want to be him, and if you're a woman, you want to be with him. And that's your enjoyment, that's your escapism for a couple hours, and then you're done.
Right.
You do not want to see this man old. You do not want to see him with relationship problems. You do not want to see him with a broken family. You do not, you know, like, you don't even care if he has, like, a happy development. Oh, he finally marries his first love. Like, no, he's supposed to have a new broad every adventure. What is this?
You're supposed
like,
to,
what are we talking about, marrying? What is going on here, right?
Stiklasa was comparing him to, like, James Bond. Like, nobody wants to know the backstory.
Nobody cares about James Bond's personal...
If you're hearing my voice right now, something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Unless this is just how you want to live, who am I to tell people to stop listening to free content that's constantly interrupted, that has to deal with my voice and whatever audio quality this is going to come out in? Who am I to tell people that they should be getting behind the paywall at therightstuff.biz/paywall? Especially if they're not white, which I assume that's what you probably are if you're hearing my voice right now. That's just my assumption. I could be wrong, but I mean, if you're not white, legally you do have to tell me that you're not white. I told Sven that I'd record some commercials for him, and at first I thought I was going to put some effort into it, but then I realized, why don't I just ramble in the dumbest way possible and force you to listen to it? Because that's what you're doing right now. You are listening to this. Mike was probably saying something very interesting, something very insightful, and now you're listening to me. Is this really what you want? Is this how you want to live? Do you want to be non-white? Because again, I just assume that's what you are. You could always fix that. You could rectify this problem by going to therightstuff.biz/paywall and getting yourself a subscription. And then you'll never have to hear me again, you know, unless I'm filling in or something.
Development.
Right. He's supposed to be a hero. You don't need to see him as anything but the hero. Right?
Yeah, it's literally the same character. He punches a bad guy, he says a funny line, and he bangs a hot chick. That's it. There you go.
Yep.
Sometimes he does something more, a little bit more clever than just punch. He rigs like a Goldberg machine by which the bad guy kills himself accidentally or something. But whatever, yeah. You know.
I don't know, man. My knee-jerk response is like, okay, Harrison Ford is 80 years old.
Yeah, it's just like, what's the point? It's over. It's like, stop.
I could not imagine in the 1980s casting an 80-year-old actor in some sort of swashbuckling action film.
It's just so desperate It's just so desperate for something to put out there. If you're going to drudge up something that old, like, why would you, like, now I'm talking like them. Like, why would you take a classic franchise and then just totally go against the values that it put out there that made it popular in the first place?
The values were just like, the values we just enunciated, like just the swashbuckling hero. It's patriarchy. Not really much more than that. It's just fluff. It's fun. It was lighthearted stuff. You know, I liked those movies a lot when I was a kid.
Yep.
I was kind of grossed out by the snake pit stuff, but, you know, I got over it.
I don't like the bugs.
But, yeah, there was some gross stuff. But, like, whatever. You know, I was most scared of Temple of Doom because it had the most gross stuff in it. But,
Monkey brains!
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's wild to me. I'm trying to imagine, like, trying to sell a studio back in the 1980s on this idea that you take an actor who's geriatric. It's geriatric now. I don't care, like, what his career used to look like. Like, yeah, you should cast him as your action star. Because audiences, they remember this guy. They love this guy.
Yeah.
We're going to have him hobble around with his walker. It'll be great.
The critique that, like, they have nothing new and they have to literally... It's almost the same as, like, in politics. Like, they have to drag out Patrick Stewart. They have to drag out Harrison Ford. They have to drag out Joe Biden. Like, these geriatric white dudes are, like, holding the last threads of this dying... society and culture and country together, and they don't really have a fallback, and it's kind of actually amusing to watch. I'm actually glad when they do these things. Like, I don't feel like I'm not so attached to Indiana Jones, which were kind of fun movies I liked when I was like in middle school and maybe the first year of high school. I was in like in sixth grade when Last Crusade came out. So yeah, like,
But you can pro tip, you can still watch it if you want to.
I don't really feel like watching.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, if you don't like these things, like, you can, like, those still exist.
Yeah,
like,
those, you could get them. I think they've probably even remastered them so they're on Blu-ray.
Yeah, probably 4K.
Right? Yeah, you probably get, like, a super high-def one remastered from the original film or whatever. But, so, like, that critique has been done. But it's sort of funny that it's not just in movies. It's also, like, Joe Biden is kind of, like, he's also, like, Patrick Stewart and Harrison Ford. He's, like, an 85-year-old man who can barely talk. And, like, they're pretending he's, like, he's up there. He's like, man, and
I can't believe I'm looking on YouTube. I can't find. No one has made like a mashup edit of like Gordon Ramsay at the Indian dinner party in Temple of Doom.
It's fucking frozen. It's a bug
because it's too old. Like it's actually a very old. It's like a 40-year-old fucking movie.
Oh
now.
God, it is. You're right.
It's wild, man. Anyway.
That would be funny, him yelling at the fucking Indian Pajit chef.
That would actually be, like, very funny. It's going to be now. Someone's going to do it now. That's the one thing I love about doing the show is, like, we can say things like that and somebody will actually put something together. But, yeah, I think
it's
we should,
bloody
you
raw.
Know, if we're going to go to break, when we do, I think we should play that as we go to break. This is very funny, but, yeah.
I think we need a break.
This is also, this video right here, it's like 1 hour 15. This video right here is the rally where our guys handed out flyers.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is the rally where our guys were handing out flyers, and all those like viral tweets of the platform went, like, got millions and millions of views on Twitter, which actually did. Here's the thing. You get millions and millions of views on Twitter, and we did get a big bump in traffic on the NJP website, but it was like basically about twice what our typical peak is that we got. So we did get traffic from it.
But I think we more flyers got about Lindsey Graham's ladybugs.
Well, you didn't need to. They already knew about it, as you'll see.
It's just like it's a weird choice. Like, you're at a Trump rally, you're booing Lindsey Graham. Does it ever dawn on you? Does the reality ever dawn on you that, like, Donald Trump handpicked him to, like, speak at this thing?
Well, this is actually what Stryker and Warren were talking about last night, where Stryker was like, you know, people should take a clue that, like, you know, Lindsey Graham, he's like, he's almost better than Donald Trump because he just tells you that he actually tells you what he's going to do. And here's the thing. All these people hate him. All these people, all these white people, all these working class white people at this rally hate this guy because he tells you what he's about. But here, Donald Trump is having him speak. So is maybe think about what Donald Trump is telling you by having him at his rally.
This guy in the background, his T-shirt says Christchurch. Is he glorifying violence against Muslims or something? What is that all about?
That's probably the church he goes to.
Oh, right. I thought he was like a Brenton Tarrant fan. All right.
Welcome to Pickens.
Yeah, that's a boo, huh?
No, dude, it gets so bad.
Oh, look at him laughing it off. He loves it.
Thank you very much.
Wow.
Thank you.
This lady's having secondhand embarrassment for him. She's like,
look at the one nigger in the background who's not saying anything because he's paid to be there. He's like, what's going on?
He's looking at his phone.
Hey, is this one? Oh, I thought that was a Nazi salute right there. He's thumbs downing.
Yeah, she's thumbs down.
Thank you very, very much.
It keeps going.
Oh my God. They're
really
like,
awkward.
They're
it's
right
funny.
Behind him booing him.
Thank you.
Look at this bitch.
Thanks a bunch.
Oh, it's a Moms for Liberty shirt right there.
Well. Well, you want to find something in common?
Oh my God.
It gets so awkward.
I think they have found something in common, Lindsay. They don't like you.
All right. Thank y'all. Thank you all very much.
Bless your heart.
Welcome to Pickens County. A little bit about this county. Just calm down for a second. I think you'll like this. Pickens County has more Medal of Honor winners per capita than any place in the nation.
Oh, that's cheap. That's cheap because they can't boo the military.
I was
that's
born in
one,
this
Lindsay.
County. I live 15 miles down the road. This is a place where people pay the taxes, fight the wars, and tell you what they believe. How many
They're
of
still
you believe
booing him.
That Donald Trump was a great president?
Okay, there's a cheap line, which he wasn't.
So let me tell you a little bit about being President Trump. What happened? I found common ground with President Trump. It took a while to get there, folks. But let me tell you what happened. I come to like President Trump.
Because he cucked on everything he was talking about.
Because he didn't actually do anything.
It turned out to be just as much of a Zionist shill as me.
Jesus.
So, nauseating. Yeah.
How anyone takes any of this serious. Oh, there's the nigger. I see him now.
Oh, you didn't see that?
I didn't really notice.
He was
notice
there,
him.
Like, conspicuously, like, looking confused the whole
you
time.
You know, it's like my mic stand
just
covers his face when I have it full screen, when I minimize it.
They probably
it.
Just grabbed that nigger off the street. He was probably walking by and, like, listen, you want to make $100? Here,
I was
go
about
sit
to
conspicuously
I was about
right
to kill
in
somebody,
frame behind
though.
The camera at the rally.
Oh, man.
I mean, look. Here's the thing. It's easy to shit on those people or say they're dumb or something, but, you know, they're just being systematically lied to.
Oh, I know.
Like
I know. I'm disappointed that it works.
Well, that's why we had guys go and hand out flyers at that event. And look, we were critical of people who would go to things like Proud Boy protests wearing masks and things like that, although what the Proud Boys did was ultimate uber faggot shit in that case. But we also were kind of critical of the strategy, and we've been critical of that strategy. But the thing is, we made sure This was not like a protest of an organized group. This was a rally, and we had our guys not wearing masks. That was very important. We told them not to do it because, like, if you do it, you're gonna anybody you might attract, if you're wearing a mask, is just going to tune out, and be suspicious of you because they're gonna be like, and it's actually understandable. Like, why are you wearing a mask, bro? Like, no one else is. It's COVID is over. And we're just at a Trump rally. Like, why are you masked up? Like, what's going to happen to you? Or who are you? You know, I get why people are suspicious of that. It's like a lizard brain thing, but I understand it. So, they didn't. And as a result, lots of people took the flyers.
Yeah.
And apparently there's libtard spies that go to these things to check out what they are. And they took the flyer and they were really mad about it to the point where, two different tweets about it got millions of...
Hey, everybody. Jordan Peterson here. I wrote a book about 12 rules for how to live your life. And I have a 13th rule for you. Subscribe to TRS. Go to therightstuff.biz/paywall and pick the payment option that best suits your needs.
Views. And the thing that was so frustrating about that was the people that were like, the donors aren't going to like this
yeah, I saw that. Like,
stuff. Don't they understand? Yeah, it's just like, dude, libtards, you're hopeless. You're just hopeless. And apparently, the people at that rally were basically all white, with the exception of very few people, and they were not, like, contrary to what we've been told, or contrary to what some people say, they were not adverse to the idea of people representing white people. This was not something that shocked or offended.
No, that they have that's a natural inclination that they have to be slapped to remember they're not supposed to do that. Somebody has to swoop in and get them in trouble for expressing that. They on their own and without
the thing is, if you take any of those people quietly, let's say you're at a bar or something, you're drinking, like, you know, this country hates white people, they will all agree with you.
Well,
if you say, you know, if you're a white person, you're being oppressed, they'll say yes.
When they're at a Trump rally and they're all together, you don't even have to take, you can say it just straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because like 99% of the people are going to agree. And maybe there's like a party minder somewhere, but that will just, you know, that who cares? Like you can just create a spectacle and make that person feel stupid.
Take on a break here. I should be getting a merchant minute. Hopefully, I don't know. Hopefully it'll be while we're having some lunch. I don't like when it comes in late, but so be it. Either way, he told me we were getting one today. So. Hopefully we'll be back with that. If not, we'll have that later in the second hour. But we'll be right back.
You are listening to the Daily Sew-Up.